You are good to go.
I'd like to call the meeting to order at 6:01 p.m. I need a motion to approve the October 10th regular session minutes.
So moved.
Oh, second, I think.
I have a motion and a second. Are there any comments, questions, concerns? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay. Comments by citizens and or faculty?
No comments.
Having none? Okay, we'll go down to items from school committee members. King Philip?
King Philip met last week. On the agenda was, I think the highlight of it was MASC. Jim Hardy came along with Len Kuchar, and we started setting out timelines for the superintendent search and working on focus groups, timelines for focus groups, who would be on the committee. Wasn't totally solidified yet, and we could kind of work out all the logistics of that. And probably the next meeting we'll have a firmer game plan and move forward on that. And then we went over the delegate resolutions. We increased the music fees a little bit.
Increased what?
The music, some of the music fees a little bit. We had a budget update. I must admit, Larry is doing a phenomenal job. He's really keeping us well informed to the minutiae of everything. As I mentioned the last time, we were looking for a municipal rep to be on the negotiating committee. Jim Lehan from Norfolk is going to take it, and will represent the three towns. And then we went into executive session. That was it.
Very good. Any questions?
Oh, wait a minute. Forgot one thing. We approved a self-sustaining alpine ski team.
Oh, really?
Self-sustaining.
Yeah, so it's going to be, it's not self-sustaining, so it's not going to be supported by the school, the schools, the budget. It's the individuals support it, but it's...
Did they have that last year?
No.
No, just talk maybe.
What mountain are they using?
They're Ward Hill. Good thing there's no camera, but Ward Hill. It's up in Shrewsbury.
Oh, okay.
It's a little...
Little hall.
But
well, good.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool.
That is very cool.
Might be cool to coach too.
Gymnastics team.
Yeah, same thing, Karen.
Yeah,
when the gymnastics started, then after 2 or 3 years, it rolls into the budget. Did that with the girls' hockey too.
Yeah,
and volleyball. Yeah, so you try and do that to make sure it stays. You know, if the interest waxes and wanes, but after 2 or 3 years, if it stays and the participation's high, keep going.
Very good. Thank you. Negotiations subcommittee, they had the first quarterly meeting with the educational support powers yesterday. I was not there. I don't know if Mr. Reich wants anything to add.
No, just a couple things we discussed. Pretty minor. I believe they were either addressed there or addressed today with some follow-up, so I think we're all set.
Very good.
Good.
Thank you. Budget subcommittee?
Nothing new to date.
Very good. Communications subcommittee's not here. Town building committee?
We met last week, the 18th, and continued to discuss how things are coming along. You've maybe seen the tall structure that's coming out of the ground. That's the stairway, the stairwell that's coming up for the town hall. The Old Wood School is down with the exception of the foundation, which they're chipping away at little by little. So that looks like everything looks like it's going along pretty well. We received an update from Jen on the borrowing for the project. Originally, it was thought that we would borrow incrementally as we needed the funds, but because the rates are so low and there's the expectation that the rates are going to raise sometime in the near future, Kathy Parker went out and secured the funding for the entire project, and it looks like it was a very, very good rate that they received, so she was very happy about that. We voted to recommend to the Board of Selectmen that we complete a phase one environmental impact study for the current police and fire station, just to get some information if we were to try to sell that, what exactly we're dealing with there. And we also voted to recommend to the Board of Selectmen that we conduct a property condition assessment for the current town hall building, just to get an idea what would be needed to be done to that building to make it usable, or meet code, I guess, really is the question, just for information purposes. I think I mentioned last time there was some desire amongst people in town to have some bricks from the old wood school. It looks like that's kind of a bust. As the bricks are coming down, they're just breaking apart, so that's probably not going to happen. But you will have the opportunity to purchase your own memorial brick leading up to the 9/11 memorial, which will, the funding for that will help to relocate that. So, and I think that was about it.
Cool. So is everything on time and on task?
That's a really good question. It seems very difficult to get an answer to that question, to be honest.
Hmm.
So I may have mentioned that we received a timeline from the CTA,
yep.
And it was rejected. And so they are continuing to give us new schedules, but I don't think there is one yet that has been agreed upon, to be honest.
Hmm.
And part of that is the manager, who was working on our project from CTA, quit the company, left CTA, and so he was replaced with someone else. So I think there's been a little bit of a gap between the two, kind of getting this new guy up to speed and getting his fingerprints on the project. But the feeling is that it's a positive for us having this new guy, because the old guy, I don't know their names, I apologize, but the old guy had no experience in municipal projects, so which this new guy does. So overall, it seems like this will be a positive.
Thank you. Sick leave and wellness, there's nobody here.
I can report on sick leave and Ed can report on wellness. So sick leave, the last Thursday I met with Jen Matascio. Javid was able to call in. We had received a request from one of our paraprofessionals for 20 days from the sick leave bank. So we reviewed her letter, we reviewed the medical information which she submitted, we felt it was justified, and we did award her the 20 days. She's back working half days, and hopefully with continued physical therapy, we'll be able in the near future to come back and still have a few days left. So we did take care of that. I know there was a wellness committee meeting, Ed?
Yeah, since the last time. First meeting of the year, we looked at specific steps on our action plan. We also have new members of the wellness committee. The outreach coordinator for Nike, the outlet malls, her and one of her employees actually walked with us. They're looking for volunteer opportunities. She went to the website, saw the write-up on the wellness program, thought it fit their needs, and we had a discussion about possibly sending some volunteers over, not only to help with some of our after-school and before-school enrichment, but to help us during field days. Robin has reached out to see if they could come once a month or so to do some recess activities for the kids.
Nice.
As well. So it was a nice surprise to get that.
Cool. Thank you. Okay. Resignations, transfers, appointments, and leaves.
Okay, just one notification with regard to student teaching. Seems this is one of the new ways that student teaching is happening. I think this is in the last year, our third time when it's actually somebody who's working for us. In this case, it's Linda Cavanaugh, who's working in preschool, currently under her early childhood certificate, but has gone after a master's in special education and needs to do student teaching. As I indicated there, some of the basically student teaching hours can be, because she is working with children, part of that time does count, but she will have to do additional hours. That will be something that will happen after her hours end at midday because she's half time. So that's something she will do in the afternoon, where she'll be working in other classrooms in conjunction with a teacher who holds that certification, a professional teacher status, to complete her student teaching. So it doesn't take away from the kids. It provides her that opportunity to get her certificate in that area. Also, with regard to the open positions, I did meet with Bob and Stephanie.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So that's just, she's not getting paid to do that, right?
No.
Just want to make sure.
That's where
I know it isn't, but right. I just want to make sure it didn't roll.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't count. It's like any somebody who comes in from college who's doing their student teaching, it's a non-paid thing, so. I met on this Monday morning, I spent some time with Stephanie, kind of reviewing where we are with the network administrator. We talked a little bit about what we're looking for in the position, and after about a half hour conversation, I did decide that next Monday we will advertise again. We'll try to see if we can, if are successful this time in finding somebody that we can bring into the district. I also met with Bob with regarding to that position. I also got some information. Actually, one of our tech person, Angela Green, happens to be married to somebody who does HVAC work and does it in the private sector in a supervisor capacity. So I wanted to see how did our pay kind of compare. Mm-hmm. And it does compare. So given that, we're going to try that again too and see if we can be successful in finding somebody that has that licensure. I think if that hadn't been the case, then I might have come back and said, let's talk a little bit more about it. But it is what they're getting for that level of service out there right now in the private sector. And I think the fact that if you're with us, you've got some health benefits coming, you're part of a pension system, hopefully we can be successful this time around. And I'll be meeting on Friday with Judy. I think she has somebody to bring forward with regard to the 2.5 hour position. So I'll chat with her on Friday and hopefully be able to move forward with filling those positions soon.
Thank you, Dave. Superintendent's report.
Okay. So first, let me, I know you received something and it said that look at some other information. And there was another information that was in your packet. So let me share that other information with you. Okay. And then beyond what I had sent, or I intended to send there, there were some additional reports too.
The ones off Desi?
Yes, I mean all of this information came from Desi at this point, and these are all, this is all information that's now public information. It came out early last week. It was embargoed for a couple of days. I believe last Wednesday it became public, and so this is information that anybody can access. Actually, although we expected the individual results to be in at the end of last week, they actually arrived in district just late today. So within the next week, they will go out to parents in terms of that information. So as I mentioned kind of in my memo here, some things to keep in mind, it's a different test. And I know I found it challenging not to kind of compare to the past, but it's a different test. And so fortunately or unfortunately, in the last 4 years, we've experienced three different state tests. Hopefully, it's one we can stick with so that over time we can then take a look at results and saying, are we making progress if the test is the same? Because each variation of the test, the old legacy MCAS, the PARC, the new 2.0 are different types of tests and are measuring different types of things. I wanted to make sure that the day where it used to be proficient or advanced, now there's a new terminology. They were talking at one point about five categories. They ended up going with the four, but you can see what those four are now. I did, in terms of looking at this, it was looking at how we did, because this is a baseline, I looked more at how we did in comparison to the state, which is not typically what I had done in the past. I'd kind of always look at how have we been doing and are we making progress and are we raising the bar. So it was about looking in terms of how we did against the state. It was about looking at how we did from a proficiency point of view as well as from a growth point of view. The first charts which I gave you, which are the ones that are outlined in brown, what I like about those is if you see the X, that's basically the state. And you have probably heard or not seen by now that basically the state in terms of performance was about 50% of the kids in the state either met or exceeded expectations. So that X in the middle is the 50% performance, 50% growth.
How do they come up with growth at all?
The growth is basically what they say is they look at the performance of all students.
Okay.
And based upon the growth that's shown by all kids, they say, here's the middle, and they put all those scores out, here's the middle part.
The median.
And the median. So if you're above that X, you're showing above average growth. If you're at the X, you're showing average growth. If you're below the X, you're showing below average growth.
Yeah,
so, right. So what happens
really
is...
growth.
Right.
Right, because how are they comparing?
Because what happens is, let's say I'm a fifth grader and I've taken a test now for 2 years. In this case, okay, this time, because it's a new test, they also had to come up with a new formula for determining growth based upon that. But let's say that wasn't the case. So let's say I took the same test last year that I took this year, and now I've got two scores. So if my score last year was this,
right, that I
and I compared that to everybody in the state who had that
yeah.
score, and now this year I scored here,
yeah.
and it was above right. most of the kids who took the test, then my growth would
that
be about 50.
Okay. That makes sense to me. But like some kids took PARC, some kids took MCAS, some kids...
So I don't know the formula. What was reported is that they came up with some type of mechanism for determining, and I've seen the term, I think, modified growth. So it's different than the formula that we used in the past when you use PARC for 2 years or MCAS for many years and you determine growth
from
that.
Seems a little artificial.
Could be. Could be. And so when you look at those, you can see, I mean, the goal for any district is to be in that top right-hand quadrant because that's higher performance, higher growth. So that's what you, as this test continues, okay, and I haven't heard that it's looking to change, and I'm not trying to put that, I think they'll stick with it now, going forward, is that's kind of, we've established the baseline for the state, we've established our baseline, and now it's about how do we get from where we are right now and move it up and to the right, higher performance while at the same time higher growth. And in what I showed you there, you'll see in some cases where you'll see the individual grade levels. You won't see grade 3 because that's the first year of the test. So to show a growth score, you have to have taken the test at least twice. Okay. You know, there are some areas where we were at the state average, slightly above, slightly below. When I look at all of this information, there are two areas, and I think this, to me, it was not a shock to me. It kind of confirmed what we've been seeing in our data, especially over the last year. We need to do better in math, and we need to do better with our kids who are in the special needs group. One of the reports that I'm waiting for, and actually Philomena's been in contact with the Department of Ed, because when you look at the report here with the different colors in it, when you get to the one that is on students' disability status, one of the difficulties that we're having is in some case, on some of the charts, the state is only showing kids without disabilities on how they perform. So there's some missing information that we're trying to get. The state acknowledged that to Philomena yesterday. They thought they had fixed it. It wasn't fixed, so she let them know again today. We're still waiting for a little bit more information. So I shared this information together this morning with Ed, Robin and Kate. We talked a little bit about it initially, our thoughts, how this matches up with some of what we saw in the end of year results last year. I'll be meeting next Tuesday, I believe. I'll be meeting with the grade teacher liaisons, the instructional
Bless
leadership
you.
Teams for both buildings. We're going to have a joint meeting next Tuesday morning so that I can share these results with them and most importantly talk about what's our action plan for achieving improvement in math as well as with our special needs population. I want to get them involved. I think they will have some good ideas, some things they've already identified and started to work on. And then within the next couple weeks, once that meeting takes place, I'll be scheduling a faculty meeting with the entire staff to share this information and also to also have the first steps of an action plan and saying this is what we need to start doing now. Because I want to be in a position where by the end of this year, we're starting to move in that direction to the upper right hand. So, questions that you may have or?
Do you do any comparisons to Wrentham and Norfolk just for yourself?
I haven't with this yet. I mean, I typically do that. And as I, when we had the legacy MCAS, because the last 2 years of Park, Wrentham didn't use the park right away. But going back a few years, one of the things I was seeing is that more times than not, we were below them in terms of performance and above them in terms of growth. That's kind of the trend we had been seeing at that time. It'll be, I think as we go forward, you start to take a look more at that type of thing. And the other piece I think that I look at here, because when I look at our demographics versus Wrentham and Norfolk, our demographics from in terms of economically deprived students are much higher. Special ed is relatively equal. We're higher, not that we have a lot of ELL kids, but they're pretty much non-existent in those two communities. So one of the things I do look at is, and I think that lends me to think that as kids enter our system, there's a higher percentage of kids who are entering in KN1 that are at need than those communities. But if you look at our grade 6 scores when kids depart us, and I think you look at the grade 6 scores here, they're pretty strong, both from a performance, proficiency, and a growth point of view. So the good news to me is I think we have some greater challenges, a greater percentage of challenges to begin with, but we seem to be making up for that over time. That being said, I can't help but wonder if we were doing a better job in math and students with disabilities earlier on, what would grade 6 look like? It would be even better. So I still believe that we can start making improvements sooner than 6th grade. That, you know, because now we're seeing some big leaps, but we want to get there sooner in terms of that. So the other thing that I didn't, only because it just happened today, there was the special ed regional group met today for the first time this year. We had identified at the end of last year, and I had put it in a superintendent's report in one of our most recent meetings, looking at sharing the work that's going on with regard to social emotional learning and also looking at transitioning students from elementary to middle. Today's meeting was focused on the social emotional learning piece. Each of the districts that was there today talked about how they're meeting the needs of students who are having some difficulties in that area from a program point of view, from a staffing point of view, from a support point of view. It was good to see what was happening across the districts. We will be meeting again in a couple of 3 weeks. And actually at that time, we will be coming up with an action plan for accomplishing a couple of goals in the area of social emotional learning. At that meeting, we will also start to take a look at the draft goal we put together for transitioning last year. And then we will meet again probably right after the first of the year to develop the action plan for the transitioning piece. That would be our third meeting this year. And then I think most likely we would then implement action plans. We would then meet as a group again in the spring to see what progress we've made on those plans and then actually create an action plan for year two next year too. But I think it was good. It was a good meeting today. It's good to have everybody, all four districts at the table.
So do you have dates set out for those meetings?
Not for the next one, only because we all took out our book and I can't make it. So we stopped and said, we're not gonna do this for the next 25 minutes. I expect that within the week we will set dates and I'll let you know when that next date will be for that group to reconvene.
So can we just keep that on the agenda so we'll be waiting for dates?
Yeah, okay.
So we don't lose track.
Thank you.
question about going back to the students with disabilities.
Yep.
Can we have a look to see, like, at that specific cohort of population that were they with us from kindergarten on, or are they some move-ins? Have we ever looked at a certain class to see if there's any data difference?
No, we haven't, but that's certainly something you can do.
I mean, I know it's probably...
I know one of the things Ed and I talked about starting to look at, because in the summertime, there are different types of support, especially in the area of language, English language arts that we're providing, and actually looking, tracking those kids as they continue and seeing if the different strategies or programming that we're doing with that group of kids, okay, which are our most neediest special ed kids because they qualify for summer services, if the program is having an impact going forward. So we've started to take a look at that. The other thing that you mentioned, special ed, which we talked about today, when you look at all students, typically what we've been seeing in this district is, as a group, we tend to perform better in language arts than in math. When we look at students with disabilities on this test, it was the opposite. They did better in math.
Is it a higher autistic
than they
population?
Than they did in ELA.
No.
Which was, I mean, something we kind of looked at today and said,
interesting.
Let's start to think about why that might be. Why are they doing, I mean, not, they can do better in both. We recognize that, but relatively speaking, they were stronger performance in math than in ELA, which leads you to start looking at, you know, what are you doing with those kids, and how are you supporting the work they're doing in math, and how are you supporting the ELA work that's going on too. So
interesting.
And then it leads you to also say, and are we seeing that in the other assessments we're using, because this is one test. You know, you want to make sure, is this kind of consistent with what you're seeing, or is it very different? And if it's very different, then you start to say we need to look at more information.
Thank you, Dave. School committee goals. Questions for the anticipated survey?
I just got it, so I haven't read it. So pretty much everything you already did.
It was basically, I just kind of tried to double check the spelling and whatnot of what I had done last time, and then added on to the best of my ability, to the best of my recollection. There were a couple of things we had talked about, and I took off the question about the, what was it? Like the schedule being synced with KP, because I think Amy suggested we take that off. So.
Just one thought, when I see the feedback questions, might there be one about, because to me feedback is also about how do you go about it? Are there enough
avenues
or different ways to provide feedback? Because somebody might say, well, that one isn't a good one, but maybe
so
if they thought... Well, one of them, I think you put about just getting the general perception is your feedback welcome?
Yeah.
Which I think is a good thing to ask about. The other thing is, there are not, do you feel that there are enough opportunities, opportunities for feedback?
Good to me otherwise.
Do you think it's too much?
No.
I don't think it's too long. redundant.
I don't think so. We'll know if we get, see what the responses are.
How was it that you were looking to get this out? Are you thinking electronically?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Because then this is something we can work on. Sue and Stephanie and myself can work on in terms of putting this into certain.
Okay.
And I think one of the things when you go that route is, are there certain choices here that you are going to require parents to share? So, for example, that you make it a requirement, okay? It may be you think it's, they need to tell you whether it's a parent or employee.
I think that should be required.
That's a required
piece.
If you
don't fit one of those categories, you shouldn't be filling the survey.
Or, and if so, then is it, if it's a parent, is it important that enough, or does it not that important that they tell you which school or whether that's the employee? I mean, those are the things too that you need to think about a little bit too as we work on this. Do you want to make some? And I think that when it comes to the questions themselves, sometimes you don't want to make those because you don't want people to feel they have to answer it if they don't know.
Right.
If they don't know, you want to kind of give them the option of not having to answer that question.
I agree with that too, and I wouldn't want someone to just say forget the whole thing because they don't want to answer one question.
Right.
Yeah, and that can happen.
You're right. I mean, I have done that myself.
Speaking from experience.
So do we have a timeline to set this out? Not really, right?
I don't know. Sooner than later? But I don't know what that means.
Well, we would probably not want it around a
You don't want to send it out the week before Thanksgiving.
No.
And then you don't want to send it out between Thanksgiving and the Christmas break.
No.
So it's either now or do you send it out like right after the first of the year?
I would do it now.
You would do it now?
I would. Yeah. Why not?
Then sooner rather, because I think to me it's either something pretty
I'd
soon.
I'd say let's just do it.
Pretty soon or.
And then we can leave it open for a couple of weeks, I guess.
Yeah.
No, all I was saying was that be a requirement.
I think that should.
You have to answer.
Because you want to be able then, because if you do it that way, when the program gets the results, you can separate them. You can get them in the aggregate, but you can also say, okay, but yet I want to see how parents responded to this, how employees responded to this, and how community members responded to this.
Thank you for doing that, Maggie.
No problem.
On to new business. Approval of the amendment to the Bi-County Collaborative Agreement.
Okay. So this amendment is coming before you as it will be coming before all school committees that are represented in the BICO district. And it's basically because we've received a request from two additional communities, Hopedale and Uxbridge, to join the BICO Collaborative. They have been sending a number of students to us. They've been doing that for quite some time. So I'm sure they're looking for an opportunity to pay member rates versus non-member rates. I think the challenge, if you don't say yes, is that they'll probably take their business elsewhere. The other piece is sometimes, you know, we're looking to communities to kind of support BICO in sometimes in terms of
space.
And so when districts come in, we say, understand that that's part of your responsibility too, is to provide space. You know, and if they're sending some kids to us, then they also understand that. So one of the things in looking to bring them forward, and there have been some conversations amongst the board of directors on terms of this, in the past, the rule of thumb is when you were setting the rates each year, and that's done by the budget subcommittee and then approved by the board of directors, that there could be up to a 20% differential between a member versus a non-member rate. What, in reviewing this, we thought it might be a good time to kind of open that a little bit more, so that if we were bringing in a few non-members to the member side, it may behoove us to be in a position where that we could actually have non-members pay 25% more, so an additional 5% to cover some of that. The other piece being, in the case of this, Hopedale and Uxbridge, if they came on board or any new members come on board, we're looking to add language that basically says, okay, so let's say there was a 25% surcharge last year, now you're a member. Well, you don't go from 25% to zero, you go from 25 to 15 to 10 to 5, and it's only in year 4 that you actually get the same member rate. So it's kind of taking, the collaborative doesn't take that hit all in one year, but it can actually budget it over time. So I think in reviewing this, the board of directors felt it made sense. It also had to be sent to DESE for some preliminary review. DESE has said they're fine with it on a preliminary basis. So now it went to the board of directors. They felt it made sense. It now goes to the school committees for it to go forward. The majority of school committees would have to approve the amendment. If that were to happen, then it goes back to DESE for a final review. And if this were to happen, basically this is something that would go into effect for the next school year.
So I have one question. Mm-hmm. So when you look at all these towns that are listed as memberships, and you look at the demographics of where they are, is Uxbridge a little too far out there to be within the driving distance of less than an hour, 1 hour or less, for a student to be on a van? Or, you know, if an Uxbridge student is coming to program that's only held in Swansea, obviously can't go.
Right.
But if they've got 2 or 3 students, how's that going to be handled?
I'm not hearing that BICO's running into that problem. I think they've been able to space their programs out in a way across the districts where that's not happening. I don't know when you have, Karen, your bus meetings with BICO, if you're hearing that that's an issue.
Yeah, but I'm just concerned that if they have,
they
students-wise, you know, right. It could happen down the road, and I'm just wondering what they would do.
Since I've been, there haven't been any, like, outliers. I mean, the furthest program, I was kind of shocked when Blackstone housed a program a couple of years ago, thinking the distance from, say, North Attleboro or
Blackstone
here.
Is small.
They've done a good job of not asking those outlying towns to house programs, probably for that reason.
Okay.
But if you take a look at the operating committee every month, you take a look at the current roster, you know, not only they're obviously substantially in collaborative students, but some of the kids from outside of the collaborative, you know, the Worcester area that are close to North Alabama, because the programs match. So it's not holding other towns back.
How do they do that legally? I mean, it's a law that they can't be.
The parent agrees.
I didn't think that the actual transportation could do that. If the parent drove, a different story, but
if the parent agrees to it, then there is
a... Is there a waiver that sets signs, that's signed by the parent saying that?
I don't know if there's an actual waiver, but I mean, that hour, that feasibility thing is, you know, if we were proposing a program or, again, with the Kinemento transportation, but...
Interesting.
My last job, we had a kid went to school in our province. It was a summer camp in Rhode Island. That was really important.
But it is the law that they can't be on a van or a car more than an hour.
And we can't propose more force.
So I would hope that if we are doing that, we would sign some, parent would sign some sort of waiver, because it's a liability otherwise.
It is, but I always, that's one of the first things when I discuss it with parents that I talk about. Not only is it programming, but it is, it's distance.
Yeah.
In the best interest of your child. We have a child that goes to school in Southboro. It's 45 minutes without traffic.
Yeah, well, you could argue traffic just going through 106 or 152.
Absolutely.
I mean, if the route itself and the mileage is within the limits, right, that's a different story, but.
Or if there isn't any traffic on Route 9, you get to Worcester in 40 minutes.
Actually, you can.
At 2 in the morning, exactly.
What happened there in 45 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, DCU Center? Okay.
So I'll make a motion to approve the amendment to the Bi-County Collaborative Agreement.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any comments, questions, or concerns? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? Thank you. A report card committee update, Mrs. Campbell.
So we met as a committee last week. Sixth grade was at Nature's Classroom, so they weren't able to attend, and the fifth grade rep was, I think, on sick that day. We went over the survey results from last spring to kind of see where we're at. Are we on the same page that the families are at? And we saw some places where it looks good, and we saw some places where we need to be doing better. So the committee, as representatives not only of special ed, but per grade level, that what we feel is going well is when the teachers are sending home the rubrics. A very clear example of why a child is earning a 2 on a standard that's being graded on the report card. So what we said at the end of the, how long were we there, Dave? An hour and a half? There was a lot of good dialogue that did go on, but the teachers that are sending home the rubrics continually, consistently, clearly growth producing feedback, those families are feeling better. If families aren't seeing the rubrics on why a 2 was a 2 or a 3 was a 3, they're a little bit more vague on what that 2 means when the report card comes. So what we decided to do as a committee, what we need to do for the district on our end, that it really isn't the tool that needs to be changed, but we need to be doing more due diligence in explaining to the families why that 2 was a 2 and what got them there. So right now what we're doing, and we knew that this was a problem, that we've been spinning our wheels as fast as we can, but now what we've done is collected all of the rubrics that are being used at each grade level for each area, ELA, math, science. Also, we'll do the learner qualities. And then what we need to be saying as teams, okay, where is everybody sending home a rubric for this? And then what does it look like? So we need to break it down. Yes, we've got teams that are really strong at it, but we've got some that were very honest and saying, well, we're sending home a rubric for this and that, but maybe not this and this, but we could be doing it more. So I think that's where our goal will be moving forward.
Right. We need to make sure that each grade level team basically are using enough rubrics to support what's going on in the report card, and that parents are seeing it on a regular basis. So if you see your child's coming home consistently with 3s, then you shouldn't be seeing a 2 on the report card. Or if you've been consistently seeing 2s, but now you're starting to see 3s, then, I mean, it should be, I mean, really, the report card is a summary of what's happened over the last 3 or 4 months. It shouldn't be something very different, but you need to make sure that you're sharing that type of information with parents so it becomes much more meaningful.
We talked about a couple different systems that teachers are using. Some are sending out all the rubrics, and sometimes it's a paper issue too, that attaching the rubric. But we said, you know, sending them all out in the beginning of the year isn't as valuable. They need to be attached to the work. So we talked about how can you break down the rubric to just the part that you're looking at for that lesson. And so we tried to do some sharing between grade levels on what is working. So we're getting there. We're close, but I think everybody was in agreement on what we could do to be having a clearer vision for families.
Thank you. Okay, approval for the FY 2018 grant summary. We need to take a vote for the FY 2018 grants currently totaling $253,911.
So moved.
Second.
Does anyone have any comments, questions, or concerns regarding the numbers? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? Thank you. Okay, approval of policy requiring purchase and replacement of fuel-efficient vehicles.
Okay. So this is before you tonight because it was a it's a request that came from the town administrator.
To make a policy?
To make a policy. So, and I'm not saying it needs to end up this way, so let me finish my story first. So the request came from her to have a policy because the town had recently adopted a policy with regard to this, because in order for the town to be able to submit an application for funds as a green community, they need to have all municipal departments on board with this, okay? So I use some of the information that Jennifer sent me to create this. Sue then sent it off to MASC last week and said, do you have policies in this particular area? We haven't heard back from them yet.
Who'd you send it to?
Mike Gilbert.
Right.
But she usually responds to you
pretty quickly. Yeah.
Right.
I don't think
there is one.
No. Nope.
We couldn't find it in the search.
Well, I can understand.
I thought I might see him next week.
And so I know this is something they're looking to put in now to get this application on board to be able to access some funds. So that's why the best I could do at this point was put it in front of you, basically with having the content that the town was looking for, basically to ensure. And this basically pertains to if we were to replace the truck, that we need to make sure that we replace it with a fuel-efficient truck.
But
that's really the only.
I don't think it's under the privy of a school policy, though. To be honest with you.
Yeah. And I don't, we were hoping to find out from Mike if that was feasible. I mean, I can call Jen tomorrow and say, can this just be an approved practice?
Yeah.
You know, this is how we operate. That we'll operate in accordance with what needs to happen if you're in a green community.
And then does that just apply to the green truck, or does it apply to the yellow snowplow truck that we had here?
The bigger one, that's a heavy-duty truck, so that falls under that. That's one of the
so does falls under this?
Exemptions.
All of this verbiage have to be in there?
I cut it down from what the town put in.
What they wanted in?
Because what she sent me as the template to use, it was like, oh my God, this is...
Why can't they create some sort of purchasing policy? I mean, like, not, it's really not a school-run policy, it's a purchasing policy through the town, right? I don't see this being in her app.
I'd be very curious what kind of money she expects to get by signing on to this green community thing.
Does it offset the cost of
buying fuel efficient
trucks fuel
efficient.
Yeah, they are pretty much fuel efficient trucks what you're looking for at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's typically what we would be looking for to begin with.
Oh, to
you
replace
want something that
the existing. Yeah.
Right.
I just kind of
hey, just wait a few more years, it's going to drive by itself and we're going to do that thing.
True. Probably true. All right, well,
I mean, if you're okay with the concept, I can talk to Jennifer tomorrow and say, does it have to be in the form of a policy the school committee supports that, you know, we would buy fuel-efficient vehicles as long as they're available?
And I mean, I don't really know anything about this. Like, none of this is crazy outside of what you would buy anyway?
No.
No, it's not. Right.
No, it's pretty standard.
It's just it's nothing we're ever going
right.
to do.
I think maybe bigger schools would, but I just don't. I don't. I've never seen it under policy, any type of school law policy.
Well, I couldn't understand. Yeah.
And unless Mike comes up with something, I don't think we were able to find it either. So.
I'd much rather see it as a procedure. And we can vote to keep it as a procedure.
Yeah.
A purchasing procedure. Make a motion to do that. Second?
I have a motion, second. Any comments, questions, or more concerns?
Just not a policy.
Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank you.
All right, I'll follow up with you. I'll keep you informed on this one once I talk to Jennifer. Hopefully that fits the bill.
Thank you. Okay, Mass Association of School Committees resolutions.
Who's our delegate?
Javed.
Javed.
He's not even here. How's he gonna know what we want?
Do you want me to go through all of them individually, or do you, I mean, usually we recommend that they just vote.
You know, Maggie, you're pretty comfortable with these from?
Well, personally, I wouldn't support all of these if it was up to me, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah.
It's not up to me, so.
So we probably should then.
Then I got to reach them.
All right, then you go.
All right, resolution, do I have to read them all?
No, just read the rationale.
So are you doing a motion for each one?
Well, let's go this way.
One motion for?
Let's do a motion for all of them unless there's opposition. And call out the opposition then. So I'm gonna make a motion to have our delegate move in the manner in which the resolutions are printed, unless he feels needed to speak in the best interest of the Plainville School Committee.
I second that.
Okay. I would just voice my personal opposition to Resolution 4. I'm not necessarily against some of the things that are mentioned in that item, such as...
So Resolution 4 is privatization of public education and the oversight of public schools, including small and regional districts.
Right. I think it's very difficult to make a sweeping statement that we would be opposed, as a citizen, be opposed to any sort of future innovation in terms of vouchers, or I personally, I don't know what the future looks like, but I wouldn't want to make a sweeping statement against it. And the other one that I would also not want to make a sweeping statement in opposition is number Resolution 7. It says, MASC urges the Congress to preserve the Affordable Care Act. I'm not necessarily sure. I understand the rationale in keeping the Medicaid, Medicare reimbursements. I understand the rationale of that, but the statement is to preserve the Affordable Care Act. And
I kind of agree with you.
I'm not really sure I feel comfortable with that.
In the privy of, it should be in the privy of Medicaid reimbursements.
Right, but the way that's worded, I'm not sure I would support that. But
actually, I agree with you, Maggie. Yeah.
Well, I'll be damned.
Mark this date down.
Actually, I never read it that way. You just pointed it out. Like, yeah, you're right. I always thought of it knowing that it was about the Medicaid.
Right, and I heard the rationale, and I.
So okay. It should be noted that Javed might want to recommend that.
So, do you get the recommendation?
So, I have a motion by Charlene, seconded by Lynn, to approve the 7 resolutions as presented, unless committee membership opposes a particular resolution.
Mm-hmm. And give the delegate the authority to speak on our behalf, as he so needs.
Do you have any issues before? I did not.
No, I didn't, I know where Maggie's coming from, but at the same token, I know the western part of the state is trying to drum up a lot of vouchers and stuff, which they're trying to preserve public school and not privatize the public school and trying to regionalize it, and I think that's where that's driving at. I don't think we see it as much here, but it's out in the
countries, okay.
That's the biggest issue.
Okay, so we'll let Javed make the decision then on 4, correct?
Well, yeah, maybe
well, I mean,
opposes it.
I mean, I just, but I'm one person, so.
So, I mean, do we have to take a vote specifically on that. I don't know how to proceed from here. We made a motion for all of them, but now we're pulling out two.
I would pull out the two then.
So we need to pull out four and two, okay.
Yep.
Four and seven.
Four and seven.
I mean, four and seven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Amendments to four, if Maggie has any amendments. No? So then you can just approve to four.
I would just vote against four.
Okay.
That'd be mine.
So two.
So I have Maggie opposes resolution four.
Right. Yep.
Maggie and Charlene oppose resolution seven.
I don't totally oppose it.
Well.
Correct.
We need to have
we suggest to Java to correct the.
Suggest an amendment. I don't know how you would word it, but.
To preserve the expansion of Medicaid programs within the Affordable Care Act.
Within.
So it's really not a.
Not to preserve the Affordable Care Act.
Is preserving the expansion of the Medicaid programs. Find within the Affordable Care Act.
Okay.
Does that sound okay?
Do I need to put that in or just suggest an amendment to the MASC resolution 7?
No, because we want him to.
Yeah, just suggest. Yeah. I would just write in the minutes that the committee suggests that the delegate makes an amendment to change the verbiage. If he doesn't go, who's the?
I think Amy's
the alternate.
Alternate.
She didn't think she'd get down until night.
So notify.
I'm not even going to be here, so I'm not. I would notify both of them. And what happens if he doesn't go? We don't have a say.
No, because it's too late to put in a person. You can't just go with the whim that day.
Okay. All right. So I have a motion and a second. With some amendments.
Well, I'll type it up and show
you. Okay.
I have it as an amendment to one. Maggie opposed resolution four. Maggie and Charlene wish to amend the verbiage in resolution number seven.
Yep.
And notify Mr. Ekpo and Mrs. Abrams, MASC delegate and alternate delegate and such, and then have the vote.
Sounds right. Yep.
Makes sense. So I have a motion.
Makes
so now any more comments, questions, or concerns? Having none, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay. Thank you, Sue. Okay. Budget timeline.
And guidelines.
And guidelines.
That time of year when Karen starts to put together the forms and they get moved out. So we have a timeline. The December date, the 19th, you see there is our meeting date in December.
Okay.
I thought what we would do is we could keep any other business very short, and if we had to meet at 5:30, we could conduct business between 5:30 and 6, and then typically we start at 6 and go through basically. So we could have the meeting from 5:30 to 6, and then it would be a budget subcommittee meeting at 6 o'clock.
So. Going back, staffing plan, forward staffing to budget subcommittee, is that December 8th? Or is it going to be supposed to be December 1st? It looks like you got the 8th, then the 1st. The line items to us by the 1st?
The reversed, yeah.
I think that it should be the first one is the 1st and the second one is the 8th.
Okay.
So that should be reversed.
Makes sense.
Sounds good to me.
And then we can set the dates in January. Yeah. Once we have that meeting, we'll know a little bit better when that's going to happen.
All right, so I need a motion to approve the guidelines and the timeline for the budget development committee. with the corrections of the staff planning on December 1st and the line item request on December 8th, with our school committee meeting starting at 5:30 on December 19th.
So moved.
Second.
Any comments, questions, or concerns? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Anyone have a legislative update? Other than the conference is next week?
Next Wednesday. Starts next Wednesday.
If there's nothing else, I do have one item that was not on the agenda, but it's the use of facilities request.
Irish Dance Studio.
For the Sullivan Stewart Irish Dance Studio. They're looking to use the Wood Capitorium from 11:30 to 4:30 on Saturday, November 4th. They have provided us with the necessary insurance and will be charged the rates specified in our policy.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any comments, questions, or concerns? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? Does anyone have anything else?
No.
Nothing?
There you go, buddy.
I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you. Capital aye. All in favor? Aye.
See ya.
Maggie and Charlene. And we all agree.
Yep.
Okay.